Everyone likes data because when you have more data, you have more freedom. Freedom to do whatever. That's why AT&T is offering you 15 gigabytes for $100 plus $15 for each line. Because the more data you have, the more freedom you can enjoy. Freedom to post more memories, download more fun, and share what matters most with who matters most. 15 gigs of data for $100 plus $15 for each line at AT&T. What more could you want? I sure can't think of anything. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Come in now and get the all-new LG V10, designed to capture, edit, and share high-quality video.
Pricing is monthly for service on smartphones on AT&T Next. Other pricing options available, overage monthly, and other charges and restrictions apply. See a store for details.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Spotlight Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Hill. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil Hill, Daily Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Hill, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Hill, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at TotalTutor. I'm excited to welcome the program. Author again, Rob Roselli, Georgia Guidestones. Learned a lot about that the last couple weeks. Rob has touched upon many different topics, and Rob, I guess, isn't it interesting during the holidays, everything takes a back seat? No real political stuff. I didn't even get a chance to watch any of the political news today. We know that everything is going to happen again, like Wag the Dog. Everything, all the crazy crises and everything will all happen this week, right? Because now television's, everyone, all eyes are on a specific story.
Hey, how you doing? Happy New Year. Yeah, I mean, look, everything, I guess everything slows down. I mean, during the holidays, obvious reasons. But, you know, for instance, today, I mean, today being the first Monday of the new year, January 4th, 2016, and already we've had a Chinese stock market crash. The only reason it wasn't worse is because apparently in China, when the stock market drops more than 7% a single day, they stop trading, and I think it's dropped like 7% within the first 15 minutes or something, and they just shut down trading.
Okay.
Which of course sparked all kinds of downturns throughout the world, including the United States, Europe, this sort of thing. So we got that going on. We got the run-up to World War III happening. Now the Saudis, our allies, in the so-called War on Terror, you know, Bush's War on Terror, and of course, Odrona or Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, has only picked up the pace with our allies, the Saudis. Remember, like the guy, you know, the guys that this scam, this multi-name, multi-birthplace scam in the White House, you know, bowed to like a little puppy dog. You know, that iconic image, you know, the Saudis, the human rights gurus,
right,
of the Middle East have cut ties with Iran. Obama's other buddies, you know, the whole Sunni versus Shia Muslim rift that goes back to almost the founding of Islam itself, back to around, 600 or 700 A.D. But anyway, so they've cut ties. We got the ongoing situation in Syria with Turkey, where the president of Turkey, a member of NATO, has now declared itself, this guy Erdogan or whatever his name is, the president of Turkey, has the self-proclaimed, you know, leader of the new Islamic caliphate. You have him going on, starting tension, you know, starting all kinds of trouble with the Russians over Syria and the Kurds in Turkey and northern Iraq. So you have that in parallel, you know, China sending troops into Syria. And of course, the whole ongoing, you know, Israel versus just about the entire Middle East situation is ongoing. So you have the run-up to World War III. So remember, everything's unfolding as we've discussed, going back to our shows on Mystery Babylon USA, and all the shows are posted, or will soon be posted on my site, boxofsunglasses.com. But remember what we talked about there. I mean, real briefly, just to review, the proper interpretation Revelation, in particular, we looked at 17 and 18, was that you'd have a very, you'd have a calamitous economic collapse worldwide, followed by a fake peace treaty slash, you know, fake world economic union, followed very quickly by the beast, which represents a conglomeration of most, if not all, of the world's countries, are the significant players in the world geopolitical scene, in a pact against the United States, you know, Russia, China, Middle Eastern countries, et cetera, ganging up on the United States and attacking the United States in almost an ambush style attack, which we can see, you know, which we can see happening. The economic collapse is obvious. And this union of countries that hate the United States. I mean, look what we're doing around the world, the hypocrisy, the arrogance, the condescension, the broken promises around the world, the danger that we pose to other nations in our so-called war on terror. You know, Hillary Clinton with her Arab Spring destabilizing all these countries. You know, just the hatred that countries have around the world. You can see this almost happening. So remember, we talked about the beast,
right?
The beast that shall hate the whore and burn her with fire, and it's all going to happen very quickly. So that seems to be the general pattern that's unfolding. You know, I don't repeat. I mean, we spent a lot of time going over this, but again, those shows are posted and they're labeled on my site, boxofsunglasses.com. If you go to page 17, they're there. Or you can go read the Mystery Babylon USA link, again, boxofsunglasses.com, and it's all spelled out. You can see, I think, on that, it's page 8, and I go through it line by line. Pattern is emerging. So in other words, to kind of, you know, go over me, my view on Revelation is that most of it is, in fact, symbolic. Okay, and perhaps, you know, it's, you know, we can put that on a docket too for another future show and go through some of the other language and Revelation that proves, and when you tie things and you match it, for instance, the book of Jeremiah in particular, I'm finding the more I read Jeremiah, you see a lot of the language that's in Revelation, you can see it talked about in the book of Jeremiah, and you see that a lot of it, it's not new. It's not a new pattern, and it is definitely meant to be symbolic or figurative in nature. Okay, which explains why so many of these so-called prophecy experts and I don't want to name names. Okay, because I know a lot of these guys. I've met them or I've talked to them on the phone or I had them on my radio show when I did a radio show, and they're not. They're not bad people. I mean, I just don't want to name names. It's just, but I'm just saying a lot of these guys are just wrong. They're just flat out wrong on their interpretation of Revelation and other Old Testament prophecies, which explains why they keep getting things wrong. In particular, the setting dates, which I absolutely do not do. I'm just taking a look at trends and big pictures. I'll just go on the record and say, what I see unfolding is definitely going to unfold within the next several years. But you're not going to see me tie anything into moons and signs in the sky and this sort of thing. I mean, just go back to Joel chapter 2, which is the entire book of Joel, for example, is referenced in Acts chapter 2 when Peter gets up in front of the crowd and said, you know, and quotes, and Coach Joel and said, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, which means they're not to be used as signs. You know, in Matthew 15, Jesus tells the Pharisees, you know, you can interpret the signs of the sky, but you can't interpret the signs of the times, and he calls them hypocrites. And so basically what he's saying there is you guys are nothing but a bunch of astrologers and stargazers, okay, of the sort of the Old Testament that were condemned repeatedly, time in and time again in the Old Testament, as being whores to the local gods and goddesses, Ashtaroth, Asherah, Baal, Molech, okay, which are nothing but mere reflections of the god and goddess of Isis, the male and female gods or deities of ancient Egypt, respectively, that we've discussed, which ties into the Georgia Guidestones, which we've been discussing the last several weeks. Remember, Robert Christian is really the builder of the Georgia Guidestones. Is symbolically called Robert Christian. The Rosicrucians is symbolic of the Rosicrucians, or the Rose plus the Cross, which, remember, we discussed was the 18th plus
right.
600 and 66, or the 6 plus 6 plus 6, or 18th degree of Freemasonry. Remember in Revelation 13, 18, it says to calculate or count the number of the beasts, which adds up to 18, which gives us Rosicrucian, or the male plus the female, which is a conglomeration of the god and goddess symbology of ancient Egypt, which just so happens to be the main contestant of God in the Old Testament. So we could see very quickly, my point about a lot of the language in Revelation, it's a lot more expansive than some stupid, some silly barcode or some, microchipped, people getting stamped with triple sixes in their forehead
right.
and walking around, and some great tribulation, which is another misnomer, another misinterpretation of the, all these so-called prophecy experts. But anyway, that is the real picture. I mean, that in other words, this symbol, this mark of the beast really goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When you really look at it properly, it does in fact stretch back to ancient Egypt, and the carry forward is to today. And remember, in the Georgia Guidestones, this character, Robert Christian, and I have literally, I've written
right.
a book in and of itself on Robert Christian, or R.C. Christian, and that's page 10 of the website. Okay, and I go through, and maybe we can, schedule this for another show and really get into
yes.
the identity, or trying to identify this Robert Christian, who is the inspiration of so many movements, New Age movements throughout history, going all the way back to ancient Egypt, the ancient, Egyptian god Thoth, Hermes, the son of God, or Horus, okay, which is all Mercury, okay, the Roman version of the son of God, and carries forward all the way to today, to Robert Christian, again, the builder of the Georgia Guidestones, which we've been discussing the past several weeks. So ultimately, when you step back far enough and you rise above the forest and look at the trees, ultimately, all this stuff does in fact tie together. And I'll kind of rambling here for a few minutes. I'll kind of shut up and let you talk for a couple minutes.
Right. I'm interested in going and bring us back. It's kind of like bring you back to the whole Georgia Guidestones and any further we want to go on this today on today's show. But what were you going to say?
Well, basically, I think what we were doing in the last several shows, we were discussing the Georgia Guidestones in detail and going through what I call the anti-Ten Commandments. Okay, and then basically, for people that don't know, the Georgia Guidestones are what's known as the American Stonehenge. It's a site in the northeastern corner of the state of Georgia, in Elberton. Okay, and out in the middle of this farmer's field, you drive out outside of Elberton, which is just a quiet little town in Georgia. It could be anywhere, USA. And I was there several years back, and I visited and I did some research and drove out to the Guidestones, and it occupies, it's one of the pictures on the front cover of my book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, which people can purchase on my site. Again, it's boxofsunglasses.com. And just to speak to the book for a second, I mean, that's really the only thing for sale on my website, and I would appreciate it if people listening, they purchase the book. I've been noticing on Twitter a few people have been purchasing it. I don't advertise. I don't have a Stephen King or or any of the other sorts of people. I don't have that kind of backing or publishing, you know, network behind me. But anyway, the Un-American Genocidal Complex is kind of a Cliff Notes version of everything, of the, quote, conspiracy that we've been talking about. In a 2 to 3 hour read, you can really get caught up on a lot of these things that I'm talking about. I realize I'm putting out a lot of information. The density of information that's being put out on the show, I realize, is very great. But a lot of it, you know, is elaborated on in the Un-American Genocidal Complex. But anyway, on the front cover, there's three pictures of what I consider to be, you know, my version or my take on the so-called Eastern Establishment, you know, Skull and Bone,
right.
Bohemian
mm-hmm.
Grove, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group. You know, and I have the old little charts, and I have things drawn up to kind of illustrate. That's really the best way to illustrate some of these things. I mean, these networks, they're so interlocked. It's almost like a plate of spaghetti.
Exactly.
Look, we're never gonna figure everything out. It's like the Kennedy assassination, right? I mean, I'll discuss it. I discuss it a little bit. Did my first book called "They Live: Great Society of the Undead." Well, just as an example, in my discussion on the Federal Reserve. But ultimately, you know, things like the Kennedy assassination, we're never gonna figure out. It's not my intention to go down that rabbit trail, or any rabbit trail for that matter, because I really believe that this is what our criminal overlords want. They want us to go down all these mysteries and go deep into these, try to figure these things out. And then all you end up doing is coming up with more questions than answers anyway. Suffice it to say that everything that we're being told, the news, our history, the economy, climate change, all these things are lies. The politicians are all liars, and it all, again, traces back to Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, where Satan, whose image I believe is this mysterious character known as Robert Christian, you know, tells Jesus that, you know, he owns the world. He owns all the kingdoms of the world. And then Luke even uses the language, in a moment of time, Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, which implies some kind of time travel or something going on where he's able to show the Son of God that he's already been given command of all the kingdoms of the world, okay? And what I'm saying is that somebody, a character, one of his worshipers or followers, one of these people who has accepted the mark of the beast, in this mysterious character known as Robert Christian, in this instance that we're talking about, has given us these very Georgia Guidestones. Now, on these are what I call the anti-Ten Commandments. Okay, and just to refresh people's memory, I'll just read through them real quick. I think last week we got up the anti-commandment. We went through anti-commandment number 7, but anyway, let me just read these real
right.
quick, and people see what I'm talking about.
And these are all on they're all part of the stones, right? You find this language on the stones then, correct? The commandments.
Yeah, no, these are literally etched in stone. I mean, they're written in 8 different languages, English, Sanskrit, I don't remember off the top of my head what languages they're written in, Hindu, but they're written, these are literally etched in stone. But here, anyway, it's maintain humanity. This is number 1. Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Guide reproduction wisely. Improving fitness and diversity. Unite humanity with a living new language, will, passion, faith, tradition. All things with tempered reason. Remember, we talked about the age of reason and the so-called Renaissance and the Enlightenment. Okay, who was one of the major characters behind the Enlightenment, but our mysterious new friend, or this character by the name of Christian Rose Cross, or Christian Rosenkreutz, which is just a German version of Robert Christian. So he was alive and well in Europe, 500 years ago. And when we get into this, when we do a show about Robert Christian, you'll just see you'll see what I'm talking about as far as just the ambiguity of trying to figure out who this guy really was, if he really lived at all or whatever. I mean, it's really a fascinating study. But anyway, the age of reason. Okay, so when you hear people talk about, you know, humanity or humanism or a brotherhood of man or the age of reason, my advice to you is run, don't walk. Because really all they're doing is setting us up for a one-world Orwellian nightmare slave state, which is really which is happening today, which is really what's being set up as we speak. It's just manifesting itself right now in 2016, the collapsing economy, World War III, everything else that's going on that we've been talking about. But anyway, number five, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. I mean, does that not sound like the United Nations or what? That all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Again, a lot of this stuff sounds like the United Nations and what comes out of the United Nations, like the radical environmental movement. And in past shows, we've discussed the radical environmental movement, and it's saying it has nothing to do with solving legitimate environmental problems and everything to do with this mass genocide of the human species. I mean, this clicking of this environmental, global warming and climate change, really what it is, it's a very thin veneer that serves as camouflage as to what these people are really up to. Okay, again, it has nothing to do with saving the environment, okay? If you're stupid enough to believe that, then I'm obviously, if you're listening and you still think that really the environmental movement, and I'm talking about the maniacs, okay? I'm not talking about people that, Greenpeace and these sorts of things that they did have good beginnings and they did have legitimate reason to exist and legitimate causes. I'm talking about these genocidal maniacs, psychopaths, these population control zealots, many of whom have occupied positions in the Obama White House, by the way. Guys like, Harvard's, so-called professor, John Holdren, and really who advocates, sterilizing the water supply to defertilize people, basically. These are the kinds of people. I mean, this is Obama's science advisor. Okay, these kind of psychopaths. Okay, Paul Ehrlich, wrote the book called The Population Bomb. This other maniac, this other Ivy League suicidal genocidal Malthusian freak, Pete Singer. Okay, I think he's an Ivy League professor at Princeton. And notice I keep the word Ivy League keeps coming up, and that's not a coincidence. But anyway,
right.
Pete Singer is another one who advocates, post-birth abortion, compares live human babies to pigs and other animals, saying that they don't have the ability to reason or rationalize, therefore they can be slaughtered like any other animal. Okay, this isn't conspiracy theory. Okay, these are the kinds of people that populate the Obama administration. Okay, the guy who voted against something called the Born Alive Infant Abortion Protection Act. Okay, which is just outright murder and genocide. Okay, this is your president. Just to kind of put a touch of reality on what I'm reading here. But anyway, number seven, avoid petty laws and useless officials. And remember, what better description of our current United States Congress? Okay, these politically impotent losers, these lowlifes, these self-selling whores called the United States Congress, who basically lay down, who are really supposed to be the lawmaking branch of our government, but lay down like little puppy dogs to their supreme leader. Obama, Sotaro, Sobarko, whatever this guy's name is that occupies the White House, okay, this mysterious character in the White House who placed himself between the columns of Jacob and Boaz, okay, the two columns of Freemasonry. Remember back in August of 2008 at the Democratic National Convention, I think out there in Denver. I don't remember if there was that image, but again, I'm going off on a tangent, but, there's a tie in there, okay? And I believe that has, that particular incident, by the way, has a lot to do with the abomination of desolation spoken of in the book of Daniel that many people have heard about, okay? a lot of our so-called prophecy experts are sitting around waiting for, you know, a temple to get built in Jerusalem. Everybody's sitting around and waiting for all this stupidity. You know, you read things from now and then, you know, or they got the sacred cows ready to go and they're going to start building the temple any time in Jerusalem, just as predicted in the book of Revelation. It's all a pile of crap, okay? All the stuff is going on while these so-called experts are sitting there with their thumbs up there, with their hindquarters, just sitting around waiting for things to happen. Just are not going to happen, okay? And again, and I apologize, I'm trying to tie a lot of things together here as they're happening or have been happening the last several years. But anyway, the way that ties in with our conversation, just as, while we're on it, is the Son of God, the self-proclaimed dictator of the United States and the world, okay, this image of the beast Obama, by placing himself in between those two columns, for all to see in the nation and the world, okay, really what that represents is, you know, Jacob and Boaz. If, you know, people that are familiar with Freemasonry, you know, you see those, one of the main, the most well-known symbols of the Freemasons, columns, and in between the two columns, you see a stairway to heaven, which sounds a lot like a Led Zeppelin song, which it is. Led Zeppelin very much into the occult.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, their song Stairway to Heaven, which is really a dedication song if you listen to the words, and in Robert Plant's own words, you know, it's a dedication to the Roman and Greek goddess Diana or Artemis, which traces back to, remember, our female side of the equation of the Egyptian Isis or the whore of Babylon. Okay, so that's one column. Okay, the other column would represent the male side of the equation. Okay, so again, you have this pattern of the rose plus the cross of the Rosicrucians. Okay, the male, the rose, remember we talked about that, the cross, the female. So now you have this idiot Obama, when he became dictator of the United States in 2008 and dictator of the world, which again isn't going to last long because, of, you know, remember the whore, you know, we've whored ourselves in a sense, just like ancient Israel, for our king Obama. The world doesn't really like us. But anyway, by him doing that, what he's saying is that I am the God, okay? I am the son of this male and female goddess of mythology, okay? So in other words, this is nothing but ancient Egyptian and Greek mythology put in our faces for all to see, you know, hidden in plain sight or whatever you want to call it, okay? Obama proclaiming himself to be the son of Isis and Osiris, or whatever male and female deity you happen to choose from the ancient world, okay? This is all happening before our faces, by the way, okay? So you can see this whole thing unfolding, okay? And I think, but again, you know, that you know, we start that whole tirade on number seven, avoid petty laws and useless officials, as our useless officials in Congress lay down with this self-proclaimed dictator slash Son of God, this image of the beast that currently occupies the White House. Number eight, balance personal rights with social duties. I mean, it just sounds like any number of these idiot politicians. I mean, this stuff all sounds good on paper.
Exactly.
Okay, you know, but we all know. I mean, this is all a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of first grade Peter Pan. What's the other one? Robin Hood, Utopian, everybody's equal, you know, bunch of nonsensical crap, okay? It's socialism. It doesn't work. Aggressives are, you know, but useful idiots. You know, Lenin used to call American liberals useful idiots, okay? They're the only ones, even in their these so-called college professors and experts that believe this crap can work. Bernie Sanders, okay, this idiot Bernie Sanders, you know, the so-called Democratic presidential candidate, you know, he typifies the stupidity of these people. We don't really need to go into that right now. But anyway, number nine, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Okay, now that's an interesting. Seeking harmony with the infinite. See, now the symbolism there, okay, when you talk about the infinite, I mean, actually that implies some kind of heaven. Okay, this is like the New Age version of heaven. Okay, these people literally worship the serpent, okay, or the so-called angel of light, which is nothing but, you know, again, this is nothing but Lucifer, okay? And the infinite is described, the way you see this in the symbolism of the Freemasons and the New Agers, people like, for example, Helena Blavatsky, who was he was an American, a well-known American occultist in the 1800s, who's considered by many to be the mother of the modern New Age movement, who also was an influence to the one Adolf Hitler. Okay, and her name pops up more than occasionally on my website and in the Un-American Genocidal Complex. But anyway, she, on the cover of her book, The Secret Doctrine, which is just full of occultic symbolism and discusses the symbolism of ancient Egypt. Okay, so, you know, again, Egypt keeps popping into this equation, just as it did in the Old Testament. You know, remember, just for example, the Israelites, coming out of the physical ancient Egypt of the Old Testament, what was it that they were doing? They worshiped a golden calf and a calf and a bull, symbolic, again, of Isis and Osiris. You know, the male and female of ancient Egypt. Okay, this is what got them in so much trouble, coming out of the desert, back there with Moses. Okay, so it's just the same thing happening over and over again. But anyway, this Helena Blavatsky and her secret doctrine on the front cover of the book is something called the Ouroboros, and which is basically a picture of a serpent in a circle, okay, eating its own tail. So in other words, it's just a circle. When you go around in a circle, and it's a symbol of infinity, okay, and where else do we see this? Okay, what is the most, this is a concept of called, some people may have heard of squaring the circle, okay, and I'm sure I want to go into this right now, but anyway, it ties back to the Great Pyramids of Giza, ancient Egypt, okay. So this is where, when they talk about the infinite in this context, in the anti Ten Commandments of the Georgia Guidestones, this is what it harkens back to. Okay, is ancient Egypt. Okay, so hopefully people, the picture, I know it's a little fuzzy right now, but hopefully this picture is starting to come into focus as to what's really going on in the world. Okay, it's not. Again, on the surface, it's we got to save the world from carbon dioxide. We got to make the world safe for democracy. We got to do this. We got to spend money on this. Everything is leading up to outright chaos. Okay, and this is all by design. Okay, and it's all explained. The storyline, so called, is being. And again, I'm saying this in another way. It's spelled out in these Georgia Guidestones. Okay, nothing. I don't remember who said it. I want to say Franklin Delano Roosevelt, progressive presidential hack, so-called hero of the United States, led the United States in World War II. Another line of crap, in my opinion. But anyway, I think it was FDR that said, nothing in politics happens by accident, okay? None of the stuff that's going on, you look at it and say, these people are a bunch of psychopaths, why is Obama... why are our neocon leaders, our war-hungry leaders provoking World War III over a country like Syria, which on a relative scale, when compared to the rest of the Middle East and what's going on in Africa, Syria is probably one of the better countries, okay, as far as human rights. And why the obsession with knocking out this guy Assad, with starting a war with Russia and China, over Syria, the Ukraine, et cetera. And he says, it doesn't make any sense, we'll swap gas rights, or this gas line going from Iraq over to Europe, or to save the petrodollar. It's all a bunch of crap, okay? It's all a cover story. Again, what's going on is hidden in plain sight, embedded in these Georgia Guidestones. Remember the anti-commandment number one, maintain humanity under 500 million people. I mean, how the hell are they going to do that? The quickest way to do that, besides, starving people to death by forcing a lot of countries like the United States into using land to burn corn for ethanol, where it could be used, productively to grow food for people that people can eat. So using that to, besides, killing people slowly, with the global warming scam, disseminating AIDS, the AIDS virus, which I discuss in this book as well, The AIDS virus, no doubt, was a man-made creation.
Oh, wow.
Besides slowly killing people in those, you know, what's the quickest way to get, you know, humanity to 500 million people? Why don't we just have a destructive, calamitous, biblical Third World War? And that's really what we're being led, what we're being led to right now as we speak. Okay? So again, the Georgia Guidestones, the anti-Ten Commandments being played out before our very eyes. Okay? And then anti-commandment number 10 kind of ties a lot of this together. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know what, Rob? This sounds like moral relativism in so many ways. A lot of these things are moral relativistic in nature.
Yeah. I mean, moral relativism, I mean, this is this concept where, you know, there's no right and wrong. You know, if it feels good, do it, this sort of thing. And again, that's the kind of stupidity that gets inserted into the American education system, which has been taken over by this very same, what I call the un-American genocidal complex. If you go back in history and the same money-changing scumbags, these people that are trying to induce World War III, the same ones that have taken over the American education system. Okay, through things like the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Endowment, the Ford Foundation, okay, the so-called tax-exempt foundations, okay, and they've inserted all this crap so that people don't know, so that there is no right and wrong anymore. It's just what's right for me, or what do I say is right, is the law. Okay, and I think another word that they use today, I think they call it diversity or tolerance. Which sounds good,
right,
on the surface.
Right.
When you think about it, but if you think about it for 2 seconds, it doesn't make any sense, because what you're really advocating in that context is anarchy. So in other words, if I say it's right for me to go out and murder people, if I say it's go out, you know, in my mind, if it's right to go out and kill Neil Haley, you know, who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? Or, you know, in your case, you know, vice versa, if, you know, you say, okay,
right, right,
you know, go out and kill Rob Roselli and his family, then so be it, you know. And then, you know, at the same time, you know, why is that so bad? I'll be limiting the population of the earth and saving the earth and saving nature. You know, I know it sounds a little ridiculous, but this is what's going on, okay? These people in charge, and I'm not talking about the president and these useless officials in Congress, okay, the people really in charge, okay, they are following the same prescription of Adam and Eve in the old, you know, all the way back there in Genesis. You know, they have proclaimed themselves to be the inheritors of this new world, of this world, this phoenix, this symbolic Freemason symbol of the phoenix rising out of the chaos of the ashes of a world drunk with madness. Okay, now, you know, again, this madness of moral relativism and world war and all this other nonsense. Okay, that again, and seemingly on the surface makes sense, but when you think about it, if you don't have a standard, a set law that everybody, you know, abides by, then you're on the path to anarchy. Which is why this freedom movement, you know, the 1960s, free sex, free drugs, you know, just do as you please. It all sounds
right.
It sounds like tolerance, moral relativism, you know, everything's, you know, it all sounds good. It sounds enticing, but it's a, wait a second, if there is no ultimate truth, that's a fallacy for two basic reasons. Number one, as we've been discussing, you know, it really leads to societal anarchy. And then number two, you know, the concept of saying there is no ultimate truth is in fact the truth. You follow what I'm saying? So if you say there is no truth, that's it's a philosophical and logical contradiction. So again, what it leads to is anarchy. Okay, and really this is what is happening in our society. We're breaking down. We're going crazy. It's happening before our eyes. You got this so-called religion of peace. You got those maniacs running around Europe and now coming to the United States. You know, in their minds, the whole world has to sit around and worship Allah and the so-called religion of peace. Okay, you have the Darwinists, okay, which, as explained in the Un-American Genocidal Complex, the Darwinists, you know, Darwin's theory of evolution, there is no God, survival of the fittest. Well, this is the exact same mentality that gave us the American eugenics and the British eugenics movements, which in turn gave us Adolf Hitler. Okay, and this is all spelled out in the Un-American Genocidal Complex. So you have that whole insanity going on, which is leading, again, to this concept today where we're basically killing each other. And the only ones left standing, the phoenix rising out of the ashes of humanity, is going to be the Un-American Genocidal Complex, our so-called leaders, okay? These people are sick, okay? But they really believe this stuff. They really believe that they are the inheritors of the world after it's been cleared of 6.5 billion out of 7 billion people. Remember, anti-Ten Commandment number one, maintain humanity under 500 million people, okay, which again, to answer your question, you know, to kind of paint it in the context of what's going on, this concept of moral relativism,
right,
just to say it another way, has been inserted on purpose into the United States education system and in Europe. You know, they're the same idiot progressives, you know, they have the same kind of liberal outlook that the American useful idiot liberals have. The American university professors, again, funded by the tax-exempt foundations that I mentioned a few minutes ago, Rockefeller, Carnegie, Ford, et cetera, it's been spreading like a disease, and you can see it. I mean, just look at the headlines. Look what's happening in this country, okay? There's chaos. The chaos factor is increasing. It's increasing at a dramatic pace, okay, which is another reason why I can't stand a lot of the interpretations of what these so-called prophecy experts are telling us. You know, everything, you know, 7-year tribulation and 3.5 years of that and tribulation rapture and all this other nonsense. It's not going to happen like that, okay? It's happening right before our eyes. And what it is, again, order out of chaos. Okay, New World Order, I think Novus Order Seclorum or whatever it is on the back of the United States $1 bill, New World Order, or New Order for the Ages. Again, you know, New Order for the Ages, you know, what is that, you know, what does that language sound like? It sounds like the anti-Ten Commandment I just read about, you know, seeking the infinite. Okay, remember we just talked about this with the anti-Ten Commandment number 8. So, again, it ties in to our so-called Federal Reserve note, the Federal Reserve system, the Great Pyramid of Giza with the illuminated eye in the back of our $1 bill. Remember, you know, the illuminated eye. You know, where did we hear about this? Well, let's think about this. Wait a second. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, yea, hath God said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, your eyes shall be opened. Okay? And again, where do we see this symbolism? Okay, you go back, you know, if you remember the ancient, you know, the pharaohs of ancient Egypt, you know, they had the, you know, the Eye of Horus or this so-called Eye of Illumination, which goes back to Genesis chapter 3, which explains why God had such a problem with ancient Egypt in the Old Testament, by the way. Okay, and again, you know, Egypt's offshoots, the Canaanites with their god Baal, the Moabites, the Ammonites, which is, you know, Jordan countries surrounding Israel.
Right, right.
Okay, when he gets into Ashtaroth and Asherah, and people worshiping in the groves and their images of wood. Okay, what he's talking about really ties back to ancient Egypt, which in turn ties back to ancient Sumeria and Babylon, which goes right back to the Garden of Eden. Okay, so hopefully, hopefully it's starting to permeate people's minds as to what's been going on, really going on in world history, and what is manifesting itself today as we speak. Okay, it's a well-devised plan. It's moving forward. And again, nothing happens by accident in politics. Nothing happens by accident. Remember that. This is all planned. These people, in one sense, they are psychopaths. Okay?
I agree.
They're just completely shot. They're satanic, literal, you know, Satan-worshipping maniacs. Okay, if you look into Rockefellers and all these other people that go to this thing called Bohemian Grove out there near San Francisco every year, they worship, you know, a 40-foot owl called Moloch. Okay, you know, Moloch, I mean, it could be any more apparent, you know, any more blatant, you know, the ancient god Moloch of the Old Testament. I mean, 1 Kings chapter 10 and, you know, all over the Old Testament, you know, all over the book of Jeremiah and Isaiah. But anyway, there's worship of the god Moloch, which is nothing but a variation of the Egyptian sun god Osiris, or the male, remember the male part of the equation that we talked about. But anyway, our leaders, our real leaders, go and worship an animal called Moloch today in the 21st century out there in Bohemian Grove. Okay, they worship nature, okay?
Exactly. And the worshiping of nature, Rob, is a very fascinating thing to look at, because, again, they'd rather save a few trees and babies. They'd rather have a certain amount of, you know, better CO2 levels than put more money to protecting us. It's that movement doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense on one level, but again, I mean, you bring up an interesting point. I mean, just look at the whole abortion, the so-called abortion industry. I mean, we call it an abortion industry. I mean, just think about that for a second, you know, ripping a live human being out of its mother's womb, or in the case of Obama, letting a live human being that's already been born to wither and die. Remember Pete Singer and John Holdren and these other genocidal freaks that we talked about before. But anyway, you know, just think about our so-called abortion industry in this country. It's really a play on population control. Again, it's a slow kill. The AIDS virus that we touched on briefly before, corn for ethanol versus, you know, corn and wheat, you know, to feed people so people starve to death. I mean, those are slow kill strategies, okay? But, you know, but the point is, yeah, I mean, we have an abortion industry. I mean, literally, you can walk in and get your baby ripped out of your womb, and that part sold. Remember the whole baby body parts for sale. Remember that whole scandal of 2015, which has kind of got swept under the rug, by the way. But anyway, look how easy it is to get an abortion. And in fact, in the case of Obama, this bloodthirsty maniac, this bloodthirsty bastard, self-proclaimed son of God, Obama, demanding that even nuns, some group called the Little Sisters, you know, a group of nuns that help the
people. Yeah, Little
demanding,
Sisters.
Okay, can you imagine the power of the federal government? Just think about that. Just as an aside, think about that. Think about the evil of this man called man in the White House's image. Okay, the power of the federal government busting down on old nuns who want nothing more than to help the poor, being forced to pay for abortions against everything they believe in. This is your president, okay? This is, you know, I don't even want to go off on that tangent right now, but just think about that for a second. But, and contrast that with the way we worship and treat nature and animals in this nation, okay? Now, I'm not against animals. I'm not into animal cruelty and all this sort of thing, but just think about all the regulations. And I deal with this every day. In my day job, okay, the civil engineer, okay, and again, I'm not against animals, but think about how much we worship animals, you know, and the cute baby seals and the cute this and the manatees and the cruelty of the animals.
Exactly.
At SeaWorld. Also, we worship, remember the bog turtle, or what was it out west, the spotted owl. The way the federal government bends over backwards to protect these animals, in a lot of cases, the federal government ends up making things worse for these animals, by the way, which kind of has, you know, ties into this whole situation, you know, out there in Oregon right now as we speak with the Bureau of Land Management. But anyway, but just think about what we do, the regulations to protect baby animals versus this bloodlust
right.
for the abortion industry. And just think about a live human baby, okay? And if you oppose the killing of live human babies, you know, our so-called leader calls you a domestic terrorist, okay? So the sons of bitches, okay, these Islamic jihadists and these Islamic jihadist training camps all over the country, this country, the United States, they're allowed to operate. You know, the federal government knows they're there, and they do nothing about it. So they're allowed to operate and train live fire exercise, the whole thing, train for jihad inside the United States. But the little sisters, the nuns, they incur the wrath of our so-called president, okay? Contrasted with his protection of nature and baby animals in this country, okay? We are a sick, confused country, okay? Drunken on the wine, okay, of...
Right.
But at the end of the show, I don't have time to go. They only have a few minutes left I could see here, but basically... When we're talking about drunken with the, you know, with wine, you know, it gets into the, again, another version of the sun god Osiris, the nature part of it, the Roman god Bacchus or the Greek Dionysus, okay, and then drinking of wine, but this ties into the whole concept of chaos we were talking about before. And maybe we can get into that on another show, but anyway, just suffice it to say that we are, in a figurative sense, we are drunk on the wine of this badness being put out by our occult criminal overlords, okay? And this language, of being drunk on wine is spelled out all over Jeremiah, the so-called minor prophet,
right.
Nahum, and this sort of thing. But, you know, the symbology is, describes nothing better than this insane nation, my country, which no longer exists, the United States, the late, great United States. But this is, you know, the point is, you know, just on that concept alone, we are fundamentally, we're a bloodthirsty, self, really, a country worthy of divine punishment like none other in history. And I'll just tie this up. I mean, if you go back to Matthew, we talked about Matthew 15, okay, where Jesus, you know, excoriates the Pharisees, okay, was symbolic of, you know, religious leaders throughout history, you know, ancient Egypt, the Roman Catholic Church, and this sort of thing, you know, the religious Jewish leadership, obviously, but, you know, you can interpret the signs of the time, you can interpret the signs of the sky, but you can't interpret the signs of the time. And if you go back a little bit, Matthew chapter 11, you know, Jesus, again, the same kind of language, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will be for you, okay? And who does he have in mind there, okay? And I'm
right.
saying, to tie this all together, I'm saying none other than the Anglo-American establishment, what I'm calling the un-American genocidal complex. And unfortunately, these very United States started out as the greatest political system in the history of the world. Okay, far from perfect, as we've discussed. Okay, you had slavery, you had mistreatment of the Indians. I'm not denying that, but overall, the greatest political system, self-correcting, okay, if you allow it, if you give it time, it corrects itself. But anyway, the greatest political system of government in the history of the world was handed to us on a silver platter. And look at where we stand right now. You know, we're a nation that elevates, you know, baby seals and baby birds above baby humans.
Exactly.
And this madness called political correctness and diversity, again, order out of chaos. Right now we're going into the chaos phase of things. And I guess the most important thing I can say right now, the most important piece of my website, you know, God's Simple Salvation Plan. And it really is simple, and the link is on there. Again, boxofsunglasses.com. You can read all about it. But anyway, I guess I'll shut up now and let you talk for the last few minutes.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, it's very interesting what you talk about the Georgia Guidestones, and then that led to the these commandments, and then how you kind of be able to paint the picture of these commandments to what's happening now. I think it's fascinating to be able to look at that, Rob, and say, okay, here are the Ten. Here are these commandments. They're written on the Georgia Guidestones. It sound perfect and great and awesome in so many ways, and yet there's an agenda for every one of them. And then you're kind of pinpointing each one of those agendas of what we're seeing our government today become and what we're seeing our society choosing for today. So what people need to do is read your book at boxofsunglasses.com and purchase it, or on Amazon. And they need to then do more research to continue this conversation, to look out for what's happening in our country based on people like Robert Christian and the Georgia Guidestones.
That's exactly correct. Okay, you know, again, you got to take a step back. You can't get trapped in the day to day things. You got to step back and look at the trends and look at the big picture. Okay, you know, if you get lost in which is what they want. Okay, with the news, the endless news cycle and the endless crap they keep throwing at us. You know, just like my favorite movie, John Carpenter's They Live. Okay, you know, I want everybody to sleep, but the concept is, you have to take a step back and look at the big picture and just keep in mind, remember Genesis chapter 3, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, God, it's basically Satan, and it sounds good, okay, if you read the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay, it sounds enticing. You know, the Georgia Guidestones, if you read them in a vacuum, it's a lot, that sounds pretty good, you know, equal rights, you know, world court, you know, balance things with nature, and it all sounds good, but again, when you look at the results and look where it really is leading, it is nothing but characteristic of the serpent, okay, of the father of lies, okay, John chapter 8, you know, a liar and the father of them. It is really, when you look at this very carefully, it is really what's going on here right now, and maybe that's a good way to leave off. Maybe next week we can dig into the
exactly.
The Bavarian Illuminati and his concept of nature worship. Look into that in a little more
yes.
detail and can see how that all ties in. That would be an interesting conversation, but anyway.
Nature worship. Okay, so boxsunglasses.com, purchase the book. At Rob Roselli on Twitter to kind of really look at what Rob has on his mind on a daily basis via tweets. And please tweet at him back, at Rob Roselli. Message him, and he'll answer questions for you. So, Rob, take care, man. And again, very interesting show, always educating me in so many ways about what's happening in our country today. So thanks for calling. We'll talk soon, man. Okay, all right, that was Rob Roselli. Take care, guys. We'll talk tomorrow.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.